Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Vadim Alexander, Head of Healthcare at SP Angel. You're up, Vadim.
How are you, Justin?
Well, you know, if you take my mood from the markets, then it's not good. You know, it's almost
what,
like...
What a week.
I know, with a banking crisis, you know, all that stuff, and it's still playing out sort of thing. Yeah. You never know what's under the hood, do you? What's really happening? You know, you're thinking, okay, this contagion here. Because the banking system largely runs on confidence, you know. Like I said, most of the funds there in the bank are invested. If everyone went to the bank to get their money out, they wouldn't have the funds. So you've got to stop people panicking, because if that starts to happen, the banks will fall over. And even though they're a lot healthier than in 2008, you know, 2009, it's all based on confidence, isn't it? And SVB, has caused a confidence crisis a bit. So I know that central banks are trying to do their best to shore up and all that stuff, but the ECB raising rates didn't help a bit, I suppose. But I didn't see what they could have done, really. If they'd gone like, if they'd not done anything, then it panic was probably set in. Maybe they could have gone for 25 basis points rather than 50.
I mean, that's what I think. I would have been a bit more cautious, given that one of the continental... Now, admittedly, Switzerland is not, you know, the euro area, but nonetheless, you know, one of the major big banks has just been effectively saved with a you know, $50 billion line of credit.
Yeah.
And you know, the ECB goes with a full half percentage rate hike. You know, it's just, that just feels a bit, I don't know. I would have thought that a quarter point, given the circumstances, would have been right. But hey, who am I to judge the
ECB? But I suppose it is that, isn't it? Whichever way they go, it's like, it's, you know, if they paused, maybe it would have stoked up the fears a bit, thinking, oh, it's worse than we thought, or, you know, because... But like I said, halfway in between, maybe just to see what, because they don't know what they don't understand the fallout, what's going to happen. You can't predict the future. And in fact, I just sent you a chart there. A very good predictor of, you know, recessions is the yield curve in the 2-year and 10-year American, you know, government bond yields. And just to point out, a recession has followed each of these inversions. In fact, an inverted yield curve has accurately predicted the 10 most recent recessions. In the past 50 years, we've seen 7 inverted interest rate curves. Each one was followed by a recession. And if you look at the chart right now, where it's at, it's like it's inverted more than the last 3 recessions. And these included the Great Financial Crash, the dot-com bubble, and in the 1980s as well. So if that is accurate, you know, if this is going to be as accurate as previous tells, then it's you know, it's a little bit worrying, you know. I mean, it may have something to do with the banking, and then the interest rates gone up so quickly. I don't know, but is this an aberration? I mean, is this an anomaly this time? Is it different this time? I don't know, but it's worrying how good the track record is of the inverted yield curve.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, the yield curve is effectively inverts, right? Because rates have gone up so high. So today, there's a mechanical reason for it, right? So. You know what I mean? Rates are going up pretty quickly in the short term. Mm-hmm. So short-term rates, you know what I mean? The overnight rate is going up because the Fed's driving it up. So you might imagine that people don't look and see rates in the same place in 10 years' time, right? Mm-hmm. So that's part of the rationale as to why the yield curve is inverted. There's a mechanical reason for it, but you're absolutely right. I mean, the yield curve is a screaming indicator of an impending recession. Because everyone thinks rates are going to come down in response to that recession.
Yeah.
And therefore, the longer-term rates should be lower in time. And that's the explanation. You know. So, there's no debate about that. You're right. It's been a strong indicator in the past. You've been saying it for some time, and I completely agree with you. What I think is just going to trigger anything like that is a banking collapse. And that's absolutely the problem right now. And it's the longer it takes to restore confidence, the harder it is, right?
Yeah.
And it's certainly taking a bit longer than people wished for earlier this week.
Yeah.
It wasn't just SVB. You know, we're now three banks in, almost a big bank with Credit Suisse. You know, it's contagion. It is contagion. You know, we're trying to control contagion. And the problem, I think you and I discussed this in the past, is that the problem with the fractional reserve banking system is exactly as you've said, it relies on confidence. And if confidence breaks apart, there is no fractional reserve banking system that can withstand that. Do you know what I mean? It just is what it is. It's a multiplier. The way banks work is they have to have depositors keep their cash in. You know, there is no... The minute you have reserves against that, if there's a run on the bank, your reserves could get depleted. No matter, you know, no one's going to carry a 50% reserve. There's no point to a bank, right? So most reserves are, I think the law is set at, you know, post 2008, at 6% reserves, tier one capital. So, you know, it's just, if there's a run, there's a run. You can almost say that, you know, it can happen to anyone at a certain point.
And it's a good point you made there. You know, it's almost like we remember SVB and maybe Credit Suisse, but there are, like, so, you know, two of the banks now in trouble. That's four.
Yeah.
And so you got this almost like domino effect. Of course, Credit Suisse is quite big. But you know, the thing with the yield curve there is that it has, you know, it's uninverted a little bit. It was down at over... you know, minus 1%. It's now at minus 0.6. So it's rallied, and you think, well, okay, what stops, you know, what brings the yield curve back in line? And that's essentially, like you say, that the markets believe the interest rates will come down because there's going to be a recession. And then the Fed will have to ease, you know, and reduce interest rates. So the bonds, you know, are not believing what the Fed's, or they believe it's temporary. And I think, if anything, and the only reason that they do this is in response to a worsening economic outlook. And so, you know, it may help that. But as I say, the reason they're doing it is not a good reason. But it may stimulate the markets a little bit. But then we may have to roll over again because we realise... The economy is not looking good, but as yet, it's not that bad, the economy, is it really? But
exactly.
Is it going to get
the
worse?
The economy itself. Well, so the economy itself is fine. Mm. Problem is the banking system is in distress. Mm. And if it were to spiral like it did in 2008, it starts to spiral into, you know, areas which impact the economy directly. So, for example, we bailed out SVB. Had we not done that, you know, we know a company, Plarium, had cash with SVB.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, you know, the mess it would have caused, rippling across, I think, a loan book of 3,000 companies, you know, across, I think SVB had a 3,500 companies in the UK alone, mm-hmm. to whom it lent. You know what I mean? To whom it held deposits, right? Yeah. We're not even talking about lending. We're just talking about holding deposits with that bank. And all of a sudden, the deposits are gone and you can't pay your staff.
Yeah,
you know, that would have been catastrophic for the economy.
Well, if we look at the series of events then, the ripple effect from this bank crisis, it's not going to be good for the economy because you've got banks now, of course, you know, like with SVB, there's a hole in their balance sheet pretty much because they've invested in bonds. The price of those bonds has gone down. They had to raise money.
Yeah.
And so if there is a liquidity problem, banks are not going to want to loan out. And then they're going to sort of hold on to their funds pretty much. They're going to be more strict, more careful on providing loans for businesses. Now, of course, that has a direct knock-on to the economy, doesn't it? Where people can't borrow money or raise, you know, to grow or take more people on, or even if they need the money desperately and they can't, the bank says, no, we're not loaning you any more money. Businesses shut down or they can't expand. So that has a real knock-on effect to the economy, and I think that's what's happening. So, and I think that the Fed, because of this, will have to, and other central banks, will have to ease up, pause, or even reduce interest rates to stimulate the market again, to get the banks loaning again in some way, because you know, otherwise there will be a knock-on effect. And then obviously the yield curve will come back into form there and invert, but that's as a result of a slowing economy, you know?
Yeah. I mean... there's a few steps to there, right? But I agree with you. Those steps are going through. We're going through them at lightning speed because that's what a crisis of confidence is, right?
Yeah.
And we really are. A week ago, we weren't even talking about SVB collapsing, you know, right?
Yeah.
And since then, we've had three failures and two bailouts. You know what I mean? Well, effective, you know, but two, Credit Suisse, and then the one this morning, the American bank that the other big banks bailed out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's spiraling. And the question is now, how do governments stop this? How do they stop the spiraling crisis of confidence? Because that's essentially what it is, right? And mm-hmm. and any crisis of confidence is a wildfire that, you know, will burn everything in its way. So unfortunately, the if remember back in 2008, the way to stop it was with words like whatever it takes. Do you remember? That's what has to come. Unfortunately, it amounts to bailing out the entire financial system if need be. And that's what puts these things, you know, to bed. You know, it stops the spiraling crisis of confidence. And it was Trichet. Remember the Trichet at the ECB, who in 2011, and he said, whatever it takes, we'll do whatever it takes to stop the run on sovereign debt, the sovereign debt crisis that the banking crisis caused. You know, remember, it started as a banking crisis in the US, spread as a banking crisis to the UK and Europe, and then turned into a sovereign debt crisis in Europe and was threatening to collapse the euro. And the ECB said, we're going to do whatever it takes. We'll buy however much debt is required from all of these governments. Basically, we have the infinite power of printing money indefinitely to bail out the entire system. So, I mean, that's the kind of underpinning that central banks sometimes have to do. We've seen it in 2008. We're at the beginning of what might be something serious. It's certainly starting to be taken seriously and should be. You know, the bailouts were done very quickly, which is good. We've learned something from 2008. But, you know, if this keeps going, it's going to take big words from the central bank. You know, that's the first step, right? The first step is to stop the crisis of confidence. The next step of what you're saying is if it gets out of control further, then, yeah, it freezes up financing directly. So SVB is an example. We just talked about the 3,000 companies that it would have, you know, ground to a halt, including Polarion, you know, which is one that we know very well. We talk about it here. That's just another small one of the many small companies that would have affected. But there's all kinds of things. Like, you remember in 2008 when ports were ground to a halt because factoring facilities stopped. Everything stopped. All lending stopped. You know what I mean? And that, you know, that's what a crisis of confidence could lead to. We're not there anywhere near that. But unless they get it out of control, you know, get it back under control, that's where they go. That's where it goes. You remember banks stop lending to each other because they start finding which one's the weakest, and then everybody stops lending to the bank that's the weakest, and then that bank collapses even faster. You know, it leads to a faster run on that bank. First that starts, then all the banks stop lending at rates that are preferential. So if you remember mortgages in the UK, they were set at 20% deposits. You know, currently mortgages are still, you know, 5% deposit in a crisis. All these things stop.
Banks want to hold on to their cash, their liquidity. I mean, did you see that on the Federal Reserve balance sheet has increased? Now, they've obviously been doing a quantitative tightening, which, of course, is the opposite of quantitative easing, which has helped the markets rally. But they expanded their balance sheet
to $2 trillion. They lent.
$297 billion. It expanded to $297 billion. It's now up $8.6 trillion in the week to March, reaching the highest value since November. Now, the reason they're doing this is to provide liquidity to banks borrowing short-term loans from the central bank to cope with the crisis of confidence triggered by SVB. So you can see, you know, already there's a bit of seizure going on here, and this is a system working, helping the banks out. But already, you know, the banks are being cautious about liquidity levels. When you get that sort of sentiment, of course, they're not going to start loaning out money. They want to hold on to their money, you know. So
absolutely, and they're terrified of lending to other banks.
Yeah.
So you know, so you're absolutely right. I mean, so that was a big move. Was the Federal Reserve saying we will provide up to $2 trillion? Now we're talking trillions, right? So it's big numbers. Big numbers are being thrown out, and that's the kind of talk I'm talking about. That central banks need to maintain to say we're underpinning the entire financial system. It will not be a run on the system, you know, and we have, they do have indefinite firepower, right? So that's the point, is they can print money.
Yeah.
So they it's interesting, actually. There's been a bizarre rally in Bitcoin.
Bitcoin and gold.
Have you seen that?
Well, do you know what? Yeah. I was just talking to John Mayer and Russ Mould, both of them saying, it's funny how alternative currency or, you know, or value is now rallying because there's lack of confidence in the traditional system, you know, bonds.
Exactly.
And now people are running to the hills pretty much going for gold and Bitcoin, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because if you think about it, we're in slightly more a precarious position in that we got here because inflation was high. Mm. And that forced the arm of central banks to drive rates up. The driving of rates up at such pace is what broke a few banks. And the threat is it might break, you know, the financial system more. And it brings us back to the same solutions, which is print more money, right? But printing more money causes more inflation. Yeah. So we're a little bit more stuck than we were in 2008.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we have inflation, you know, as the solution causes more of the original problem.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's now Bitcoin is literally, let's say, start of this year, Bitcoin was at 16,000. It's now at 26,800. Yep. So it's rallied strongly. Okay. You mentioned Deliveroo. They had final results out for the year, ended the 31st of December. What was your thoughts?
A strong set of results. I mean, exceeded my expectations in that, you know, I can't believe they're nearing profitability on a run rate or cash self-sufficiency on a run rate basis. Mm. So, you know, their EBITDA margin was minus 1.5% of what's known as gross transaction value. Mm-hmm. GTV is the volume, the value of transactions going through their platform. Their platform has like 7 billion sterling going through their platform. It's a big number. And then their burn was a ratio of that. Well, it's gone from that to, I think, 0.2%. So they're now moving very quickly to cash generation. Their balance sheet, as we've always said, is strong, $1 billion in cash. They had a $1.3 billion last time, but their burn now has been reduced to $74 million, I think, in the second half. So they're moving towards cash self-sufficient. So their market cap consists of their $1.6 billion market cap, $1 billion is cash. That cash is no longer burning away. And they're moving into cash generation, which is interesting. But, you know, all this is irrelevant because if the world collapses around them, it'll impact everyone. You know what I mean?
So the headline
news we're talking about is more important than. But don't get me wrong, Deliveroo is really delivering. No pun intended. They really are delivering.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the funny thing is, you know, I was watching Dragon's Den last night. This company was doing coffee beans by subscription, and one of the dragons on there said, "But you know, we are going into recession probably, and people will cut back on subscription models." And they said, "Well, yeah, but also, people will probably stop ordering takeaway coffee for three, four, five quid, whatever it is, and they'll go for a cheaper version. If they still want nice coffee, they just make it at home." And so with Deliveroo, I suppose, is the argument there. People may stop going out to restaurants, but they may still do the takeaway thing, you know, because that's a cheaper option than going out. So there may still be support for that. But, yeah, it's nice to see. I mean, you know, revenue growth 14%, and just looking at the levels here on cash, so they've got total cash, 949 million, pretty much. And how much do they use cash in operations? 144 million. So it's plenty of runway.
But 74. Mm. Yeah, I mean their burn is coming down very aggressively because they've optimized. Remember we've been talking about how a lot of these companies have reacted in the last year to the cost of living crisis, and they have. So they've cut their spend in, you know, their useless spend. They've maintained, they've pulled out of some areas like Australia and the Netherlands, and they focus on the markets they're good in, and they've cut costs as a result. So their margins have improved substantially.
Yeah.
So they're almost near cash self-sufficiency.
Yeah.
I think next year they'll be generating cash.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting, but I mean, the share price came off a little bit, didn't it? On the news, but I suppose that's going to happen in this market. Sometimes I've seen a lot of companies sort of, you know, move up towards the news bit and then dive off. But they're, do you know what? I quite like the charts. Literally, they're forming that base where they just, you know, they are going in a range between 80 and a pound, 80 pence and a pound, and if they can show, you know, the market improvement going forward, then surely that's going to go up if they've got plenty of cash, they're no debt. Yeah, there we are. Anything else? Anything else to look at, Padim?
Well, no. I mean, like, so a lot of these retail companies are they have come out strong, right? So, you know, AO just had one of their NEDs bought 350,000 pounds of stock. Its stock's rallying as a result. You know, these companies, the key is that they've made the changes required. The cost of living crisis forced their hand about a year and a half ago. You know, they were, their 22 was a difficult year for them all. Several of them had to recapitalize their balance sheet. AO did. But they're now in much healthier positions. The question is what happens to the market as a result of, you know, your inverted yield curve. Yeah. So let's hope the market doesn't collapse because the banking system has been broken by an aggressive rate cycle. Yeah. I don't think so. I genuinely believe you know, the central banks will step in and give everyone the words that they need to hear, which is we will underwrite the whole thing if need be before it gets much worse. In 2008, we didn't know how far this was going to go. Today, we know how far this can go. So already the bailout of SVB happened over the weekend. You know what I mean? The actions taken, and on both sides of the Atlantic, right? In the UK too, they found a buyer, HSBC, over a 48-hour period. It's pretty impressive. You know, and they've already bailed out, you know, two others. And sorry, they're, you know, bailout is not the word I'm using, but underpinned two other banks, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, it's pretty impressive the pace at which they're trying to fix this. So, you know, will we see the rate hikes though? I don't think so. Do you think? Do you think it makes sense to continue raising rates? I don't think so.
I think that they've literally, you know, like I said, we're four banks in. And, you know, raising rates is just going to exacerbate the problem. And I don't think they want that problem. I don't think they want to go back to the worry they had in the great financial crash. Far from it. Even though banks are more healthy now, like I said, it's largely down to confidence, you know. And if that confidence is broken, then you will get a run. It's just panic herd mentality, isn't it? You can't stop that. You know, all you can do is prevent that from happening. And you do that by, like I said, not tightening, by easing and trying to facilitate, you know, rather than sort of putting, you know, saying you need to. It's going to get worse because, like I said, banks are now holding out their cash. They're not loaning, you know?
Yep, exactly. So look, there's a crack that's emerged and it's a big one. You know, and now they have to repair it, and the game has changed now. You know, the belief that they can continue raising rates aggressively has probably changed.
Mm-hmm. Marvelous stuff. Bitcoin just at 27,000.
That's the real talking. Surprise,
1st of January, it was 16,000.
That is the surprise. I mean, I can see gold without question. That has always been historically where the refuge of the fear of printing money, right? So we've been printing money since 2008, and now the markets are, the yield curve is telling us we're probably going to have to continue doing so, and that devalues currency. So everyone's going into things that cannot be devalued, like gold, and now the new one is Bitcoin, which is interesting. That's an interesting new development.
Yeah, marvelous stuff. I wish I'd bought some of the lows now. There we are. Marvelous. Cheers, Vadim. Speak next week.
Excellent. Thanks.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.